We'd just like to welcome everyone here. If you're new here to Xenos, we would like to welcome you. We have some free coffee back there, regular and decaf, so go ahead and help yourself. And really grateful that to be able to have Mark here to teach on this. He works with junior high ministry. He's worked with junior high students for about 17, 18 years now. So he has a lot of experience. He has a lot of great stories to tell us, I'm sure. But I think this is something that's very relevant to us. I'm sure most of you guys are like me, where your kids probably know a lot more about technology than we could even try to catch up with. So I think this is important for us to be aware of these things and how we can really be able to just help fight the tide against our kids getting so caught up into technology. So we're grateful to have Mark up here, but before we get started, I just want to open up with prayer. God, I'm grateful that we have you to turn to, that you are a God of wisdom, and that you want are willing to come alongside us as parents to help our kids, to be able to teach our kids how to grow up and to be the people that you want them to be, how you design them to be, God. And we just really pray that you would open our hearts up tonight to be able to hear from you. Help us to walk away with a negative truth that will really help us to be able to apply to our parenting tomorrow, God. So just grateful for this and just pray for our time. Amen.
Hello. Oh, thank you. I love your last name. That's Jay Johnson. That's a good man. So, hi. Good. Things are changing very fast with technology. I had just this afternoon, I got to talk with some seventh graders about their experience with technology. And it's pretty insightful. But how many of you guys had a portable cassette player? Oh, yeah. I had mine. I listened to it for hundreds of hours. You think of just like audio technology and how much better it's gotten. Do you remember like trying to find the start of a song with a tape player? Kids, have you ever done that? It's terrible. I remember going from, 45 records to cassettes, and that was a big improvement. And then I got my first CD player while I was in high school, and it was portable, but it was big. And if you touched it at all while it was playing, it would skip. But at least you could find the beginning of songs and things like that, or repeat a song. That was great. And not just have to, hit the buttons over and over. Yeah. So, and then MP3s are way better than that. I remember when people were getting, 10 disc changers in their cars, it was like, why do you need that much music with you at all times? But anybody that has an MP3 player knows that you need to have that much music with you everywhere. So things have changed really fast, and I think it's easy for a lot of it to just go right over your head. I have a lot of respect for you guys as parents. I am not a parent. I don't have my own kids. I just mess with other people's kids and then send them home. But this is an area that things have changed so fast that it's really hard to keep a grasp on, what's important, when should we introduce technology to the kids, how much should they be involved, what kind of limits should we put on them, those kind of things. But here's a couple of questions that I asked seventh graders this afternoon, and they actually had pretty good insight into, how this all works. Hold on, let me mess with my technology here. Okay, so what's good about technology? They said some of the things that you'd probably say. It's really easy to communicate with people all around the world. When people, some of you have friends that live on other parts of the planet, and being able to communicate with them at any time is great. Email is really great. Being able to do Skype and other kind of video things, it's really awesome. At Christmas, our family had this big, there was a pregnancy in the family, and the introduction of, what gender it was done over video conferencing, and it was cool, it was fun. it's really great to be able to talk with anybody, anywhere, anytime for cheap. And the truth is, probably a lot of you really benefit from that. Keeping in touch with people is easier than ever. They said that they could contact their parents if they're in trouble. And this is why a lot of kids are given their, you know, little digital leash. You know, you may have this phone, but if I ever call, you better pick up. You know, those kind of things. And I think some of the kids realize that that's good. One boy thought that video games can help hand-eye coordination. It might be able to, actually, but maybe. They said it's fun. And that's a really compelling reason to do anything, that it's fun. You can talk to your friends while you're playing video games with them, especially when you've got the little, like, McDonald's headset on. Some video games now you can move around, so it's not just sitting down. And here's a compelling benefit to information technology and video games and things like that is they understand war and how to survive and how to work as a team to kill. And that, you know, that's a valuable skill to have. If the zombie apocalypse ever happens, like, our kids will do well. And one other thing relationally, because the question is, like, how do video games and phone and texting and chatting, how does that affect the way that people relate? Well, one positive is that you can, you know, communicate with more people. But another thing is when you get some cool technology thing, people will come to your house to play with it. And so it can be, there can be relational benefits to it. And these are all what the kids were saying. I think that's pretty good insight. What's bad about technology? What are the dangers? Brain damage? I was like, do you really believe that? And he was like, yeah, I think so. I was like, all right, dude. Can hurt your eyes if you play in the dark. I never believed when my parents said that. How many of you actually believe that it can hurt your eyes? How many of you discipline your kids if they play in the dark? Not many, okay. Here's where it gets the problems. One of the real problems is fights are easy to get into and it's hard to work things out over information technology. If you get in a Facebook fight, they're really easy to get into. You text something to someone and they don't like it, they can spread it to other people. Drama does well with information technology. There's creepers out there. You know, people with fake Facebook pages that are trying to lure kids. It can distract them from doing homework. They can get addicted. Cyberbullying. I asked the kids, how many of you feel like you've been bullied online? And some of them really felt that they had been. So, yeah, I think this is probably similar to the kinds of concerns that adults have too, right? That it's, you know, probably maybe some of the others are, they're going to get trained to be shallow and unable to have a face-to-face conversation. They won't be able to think in any kind of deep or linear way ever. They, you know, won't be able to do anything of significance without something digital reminding them of it. Yeah, so I think we have these concerns. So then we've got real positives and real negatives, but at the very least, in our culture, this whole technology stuff is here to stay. Huge business, you know, maybe a number of you make your living through information technology, or at least use it to a huge degree in your jobs. So how can we maximize the benefits and, you know, stop the real problems with it? What is like a spiritual way to look at this? What would God's perspective be on this? Well, it turns out that the Bible is a really cool book that doesn't say anything about electronics. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe. But there's one, we're just going to look at one passage to try and get a sense of what are some principles that the Bible would recommend as far as the way that we approach technology. And there's one main principle that if you and your kids can really get behind, it will help a lot towards emphasizing the good things and downplaying the bad things of technology. And it is that people are more important. That's the main point. And it's actually the main point of the passage that we're going to look at too. People are more important. The good things about technology are that it can help enhance and expand the people that you can interact with. The main bad things about technology is it's you can fracture relationships with more people. But people are more important. And so, you know, whatever decisions that you're making, when can your kid have access to technology? How much? You know, how old should they be when they have their own cell phone? At what point, you know, should they be able to choose the content that they watch by themselves? The driving central principle is that people are more important. All right, we're going to look at one passage. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. Peter is talking to a group of people who are followers of Jesus, and they're under some persecution. There's people that do not like what they're doing. And he tells them, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. So what does that have to do with technology? A couple things. The first thing, like I said, the main point is that people are more important, and that's in verse 8. And then there's two subpoints. The first one is there at the beginning. The end of the world is coming soon. The Bible's perspective of the world is that it's all going to burn. That everything that we have, every physical thing that we have is temporary. Our very bodies, the stuff around us, the things that we spend our time working to accumulate, they are all temporary. They will not last. The thing that you know, the gadget that you are craving right now, one day will be garbage. This is a defining characteristic of the Bible's perspective on the world, is that the world is coming to an end. Now, the really big thing then for us to do is if we know that the world is coming to an end, at the very least, our world is coming to end because we are going to die. We need to make sure that we are ready for the end, that we personally have gotten right with God, that we personally have gotten forgiven. The Bible's perspective is that God is real, that he's perfect, and that we are not perfect. And that the fact that we've messed up, that we do bad things, we make bad choices, means that we have real guilt that separates us from a perfect God. But God agrees that people are very important. He loves people, he loves you, and so he solved the problem of our guilt by coming himself as Jesus Christ and volunteering to die to pay the penalty that you owe God. This is God's biggest technology, is that he found a way to deal with your guilt. The world is coming to an end. Everything is going to burn. You need to make sure that you're right with God. That's the first most important thing. The way that you do this is you just call out to God and say, God, I know I don't deserve it. Please forgive me. Please count Jesus' death in my place. I know a lot of you guys have done that. But when you're working with your family and your kids on the principles that are going to define how you use stuff, what kind of stuff do you try and get? This is a really important thing, that everything that you have is going to burn. It's temporary. Check out this quote by Francis Schaeffer. This is from the early 70s. And notice how this still fits our culture right now. Sorry that it's a little small. Hopefully you can read it. In our culture, nothing has exhibited such folly more than our automobiles. Go to a showroom and see the pride with which a man drives out his new car. Then think of an automobile graveyard or a rusting, stripped junk car abandoned on a city street. They are shells screaming out tremendous sermons against all practical materialism. Practical materialism would be thinking that stuff is going to make us happen. And these sermons are, you're fools, you're fools, you're fools. And Christians, as well as many others, can be such fools with their wealth. I've always wanted to do this with a junior high group, to like take them to a car dealership. And cars are like one of the main driving sources of technology for the general public. To take them there and get them excited, not just like a normal, like some nice dealership. Maybe let them sit in the cars, maybe go on a test drive. This is why we can't get this to happen, because what luxury car dealership wants a bunch of 12-year-olds running around on their lot? But to like get real excited about these cars and then go immediately to a junkyard and do a teaching from the Bible on materialism. Every rusted out car is screaming, you are a fool for thinking a car is going to make you happy. Every cell phone that sits in your drawer and is worthless is screaming out, you are stupid for thinking that this is going to make you happy. Every old computer that is not much better than a, you know, watch pocket calculator or something like that is screaming out, you are an idiot for thinking that this is going to solve the problems in your life. So as much as things have changed, this has not changed. Technology is not going to save us. We might add length to our life by using technology, but it will not be the thing that solves that aching pain that we have in our lives. But our culture is very optimistic that technology will really help. There's also the people that are like, no, technology is going to, you know, make our lives miserable. The government's going to spy on every aspect of our lives. But would they really do that? Probably. But so there's good and bad things about technology. But our culture typically believes that technology is going to make our lives way better. Otherwise, technology companies wouldn't be some of the very most profitable companies. People wouldn't stand in line to get new products if they didn't believe that it was going to make their life better. I don't think it's immoral to stand in line to get the new iPad. But I will say that it is not going to save your life. And for you, you need to make sure that your heart is right on this point as a parent. Because your kids are going to model the attitudes that you have towards the stuff in your life. It is going to burn. It is nowhere near as important as any person. People are more important. Things are temporary. If you take this quote and put in any technology in the place of automobiles, it fits exactly the same. Everything that you have is going to be garbage one day. The most precious things that you have are totally temporary. Are you making sure that you in your heart believe that so that you can communicate that to your kids? Because every advertisement lies to people and tells them that that's not true. If you buy this brand of automobile, the opposite gender will be sexually attracted to you. That's not totally true. If you get the new computer, then a world of opportunity will open up and you'll become a better person. No, that doesn't necessarily happen. you have to make sure that you have a good critique in your heart so that you can help your kids have the right perspective on the crap that's around them. Does that make sense? It's temporary. It's all going to burn. That's why people are way more important. Look at what the passage goes on to say. Here's a couple things. Ooh, that did not go. That's not good. Okay, I know there's some kids here. Here's some things. If everything is going to burn, then do not trade people for electronics. Make sure that anything that you desire, that it never goes above the desire that you have to make an impact on other people, to love other people. Make sure that you're talking with your parents about the stuff that you want and go along with their decisions. Sometimes parents are dumb and they totally don't understand. That's one of the main things. The seventh graders, I asked them, are your parents, do they understand technology or are they totally backwards? And they were like, they know nothing. They don't understand how Facebook works. I have to teach my mom. One girl was like, I have to teach my mom how to send a text every time. One girl was like, I know my mom's cell phone better than she does, and I don't even have a phone. Right? But kids, once you've educated your parents, then go along with their decisions. And make sure that you're determined to get rid of anything in your life, no matter how much you like it, that gets in the way of what's really important. One of the real sad things that happens is kids beg and beg and beg for some technology thing, and then they get it, and it totally absorbs them, and it makes them bad at relating. That would be really sad. All right, parents, if everything is going to burn, what does that mean for you? All right. Help your kids learn to critique the content that they're seeing. When kids are really small, you just protect them from content that's going to be damaging to them. But as they get older, instead of just like having like, that's bad, stay away, you need to be giving them tools to be able to critique the content that they're seeing themselves. Because even if you have the most well thought out principles that guide your family's perspective towards information technology, your kids' friends do not share your concerns. And it's common for kids to have some sort of device that they carry with them all the time that has completely unfiltered access to the internet. There's some great stuff on the internet. There's also a lot of not so great stuff. Your kids are going to be exposed to things that you don't want them exposed to. When that happens, are they going to have the tools to be able to critique that and make wise choices? Having an open dialogue and talking with you and having, you know, a track record of being honest should be a prerequisite for going to the next level for information technology. You've been lying a lot. No, I don't trust you to have your own phone. Things like that. I think it's appropriate for, like, if you're purchasing stuff for them or if they live in your house, I think it's appropriate for you to have access to the stuff that they're into so that you have this open dialogue about what's happening. And one thing that's really fun is when you're watching TV together or the internet together, critique the advertisements that you're seeing. It's a fun game. What's the main claim? Is it true? Are they being honest? Dude, I'm a real person. Okay. All right. And parents, are you willing to remove information technology stuff if it interferes with higher priorities? Are you willing to totally get it out of your house? What are your priorities for your house? What extent are you willing to go to if those priorities aren't happening? That's the question. This takes a monumental will. I don't know if I could do it as a parent because it would cost you money, it would cause conflict. but people are more important. If there's things that are getting in the way of your kids developing and their ability to love God and other people, that is a really big deal. That's the biggest deal. Your kids don't have to be the all-star athlete or the best and smartest. But if they come out of your house and they know how to love other people, that would be a major success. Make sure that nothing is getting in the way of that. All right. The end of the world is coming soon, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Earnest means sincere. I asked the kids today, how does information technology affect your ability to relate to other people? Like, on the whole, does it help? Or on the whole, does it hurt? And three kids thought that it was bad overall because it was so easy to get, you can't read sarcasm in an email or a text. And so fights get started. Three of them thought it was good because it so expands the number of people that you can relate to. 10 of the kids thought that it was kind of balanced. There was some good, there was some bad. And some of the kids refused to vote. Yep. But how does getting really involved in information technology affect your relationship with God? Most of them agreed that if you spend a lot of time in a day, a lot of time in front of a screen, that it negatively influences your ability to draw close to God. And a lot of them talked about that they had personally spent long periods of time in a day playing video games or texting or on Facebook, and that at the end of a day like that, they felt gross. Just like you feel when you do that. It's just like, and I was like, why do you think that is? And it's kind of like, well, I just sat on my butt all day long and I didn't accomplish anything. So this is 12 and 13 year olds, right? This is like pretty insightful. I think what they're saying is really good. I think it's hard if you're totally consumed with information technology, especially if it's any kind of addictive kind of thing. It's going to be really hard for you to be sincere and disciplined in your prayer life. But there's some technology that actually helps your prayer life. Like, my gosh, I love my Bible app. It's awesome, Being able to write out your prayers on a computer can really help your prayer life. Things like that. All right, but verse 8, notice how it says, most important of all. When the Bible says something like that, after it's going to say something that's really important. All right, so most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. This is it. People are more important. The most important thing is if you are showing deep love for other people. Are you, as a parent, growing in your ability to love your kids, to love your spouse, to have deep, honest friendships with your peers? Is that something that you're teaching and modeling your kids? Are your kids making progress? Do they at least see that this is the defining principle of what your family is about? We are about other people. We are going to love people in the name of God. This is the issue to die on. Are your kids moving towards the Lord? Are they becoming people who love others better? Love covers a multitude of sins. This is why this kind of thing, like, I'd love to be able to give you, here's the prescription. Here's when you should let your kids have access. Here's how much. Here's how much control you should exert. Here are the checks and balances that you should have. But even if I could give you that, it would be wrong. And once your kids were 6 months older, it would be totally not right for your family. But love covers over a multitude of sins. If your kid gets into something that's no good, God's love covers over our sins. We deserve God's judgment. In his love, he provided a way out. His love covers over our sins. Your kid doesn't have to be perfect, but if they're growing in love, that's going to cover over a multitude of their sins. You are not a perfect parent, but your love for your kids and your love for the Lord covers over a multitude of sins. People are more important. You don't have to be perfect on this stuff, but at least get the main thing right. Keep the main thing the main thing. What would this look like? Oh, here's one thing that I really emphasize with the middle school students that I work with. When we are at a social thing, you know, my junior high small group Bible study or the large group, or we're just hanging out, if you put headphones on, you're going to have a problem with me. And typically what I do is I pull the headphones off and I scream, people are more important. When you are in a social environment and you intentionally isolate yourself, which is what putting headphones on does, they're like, I can still hear, you know. It's like, I don't care. You're communicating that what's on your little device is more important than other people. If you're in my car, you will not have headphones on. I hate that. You might have a different view on that, but the principle is people are more important. We are here to build friendships with each other. Sitting and listening to something by yourself is not good enough. Yeah, I hate that, man. I've stopped the car to rip headphones off of kids before. Like, what is this? Dude, we're friends. Why would you like push us out like that? I could still hear you. What? Anyways, whatever. Okay. So people are more important. For you personally, whether you're an adult or a kid, are you growing in love? Are you more loving now than you were a year ago? Are you quicker to forgive? Are you more generous? Has the kind of people that you can love expanded this year? Are you addicted to anything, especially information technology? Are there addictions that you have that prevent you from being loving? I asked the kids, how much are you on? You know, what's the longest that you've gone recently without being in front of a screen? And one girl was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I've gone a full day for a long time. That might not be that big a problem. But this is something that you have to deal with in your own heart. Like, is this something that's getting in the way of your ability to love other people? And are you modeling good attitudes about your stuff, the stuff that you like, or are you being selfish with the stuff that you like and then being hypocritical by telling your kids not to be so enamored with stuff? Make a goal, ask God, please make me a great friend. Are you a great friend to the people that you're connected with? Is the technology that you use enhancing your ability to be a great friend? Or is it getting in the way of it? Are you using your phone and computer and whatever to connect? Or is it driving a wedge between you and other people where you have this secret world that none of your close peers know about? Make sure that you are learning to talk face-to-face with people. Are you able to just sit and talk, or do you have to keep checking your thing? I had dinner with a 12-year-old a couple months ago. He had asked to talk to me because he had a friend who was, really depressed. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that from you. And the whole time we were talking, he was like texting. I was like, dude, I'm a real human right here in front of you. I will talk back. But, so that was negative, but the positive side was we were talking about some verses that he could share with his friend, and the second that he had one, he texted it to his friend. I was like, all right, that's pretty good. But learning to be able to set stuff down and actually connect relationally is important. And it's important for your kids. And kids that are here, make sure that you're growing in your ability to have a really cool talk with other people without having to have anything else. There's a lot of people in our culture that fail at that ability. They have to have a drink in their hand to have a talk with someone. Or they have, you know, they use their phone as a barrier to other people. Ooh, I feel awkward. I'm going to pretend to text. Things like that. Are you growing in your ability to move towards people, whether you feel comfortable or not? Are your kids developing in that ability? Do they see that as something that's important and that they want to be good at? Prioritize love versus fear or being mean. People that get really involved in information technology, whether it's gaming or, you know, chatting or whatever, typically their personality and their strengths and weaknesses come out. Some people are, they're the trolls that go and try and flame other people and get a rise out of other people. Some people, you know, this is their safe little world. This is where they feel that they're protected. And I think, I mean, it's hard to tell what the statistics on this are, but there's a growing number of people, I believe, in our culture who are almost completely isolated from other people. Maybe they go to work, and then they come home, and they are alone. And they don't talk to any real people. That is really sad. And for people that live like that, their world is so dark and cold. Imagine what it would be like if you didn't have the warmth of the friends that you have. We've totally seen this. I lived in a ministry house, which is a Christian rooming house, for a number of years. And we had a handful of guys that came through that were real intense gamers. And for some of them, that was like kind of a bridge where they met people and started friendships. And for some of them, it was this black hole that they were totally sucked into. And it's hard to tell, and there's actually, you know, studies on both sides that about, does getting into some of those games, does it limit your ability to connect with other people, or are people that have a hard time connecting drawn to that? It might be a little bit of both. But at the very least, understand that there's going to be things with technology, whether it's, you know, gaming or porn or, you know, internet, you know, Facebook drama, that you're going to be more likely to get sucked into, that your kids are going to be more likely to get sucked into, and at least have as a principle, like, people are more important. Me and my kids developing in our ability to love is a real central ethic of what we're about. Does that make sense? All right, good. All right, last thing. In verse 9, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. This is where having technology can be really, really fun. Cheerfully share. The word there is philoxenos, a friend of strangers. Are you actively, cheerfully, aggressively looking to share the best stuff that you have? What are the things that you hoard and hide that are your precious things? I would strongly challenge you that having those like museum pieces is destructive to your spiritual life. What do you have that you're unwilling to share? That thing will get in the way of your relationship with God and your ability to love other people because you believe that thing is more important than other people. I'd urge you to seriously consider getting rid of it and getting it out of your house. I'm totally not against having nice things, but if there's things, and you'll have to answer this in your heart, if there's things that you are unwilling to share, that's a real problem. It says, cheerfully share your home. when you're choosing what things to buy, this should be one of the things that you consider. Can I use this to share with other people? Will this enhance what I have to give to other people? It totally might. You might be able to have a computer and, you know, make videos or, you know, newsletters or write people or whatever that really enhance your ability to share. You might be able to get a game system that makes your house way more attractive and inviting. It's possible that there could be even high-priced items that really enhance your family's ability to share and give things away. Is your home a place that people want to come and hang out? Have you had people over for dinner lately? Are you, you know, cheerfully looking to share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay? And are the things that are in your home attractive to bring other people in? This is so fun. This is where you can, you know, having some technology things really could potentially enhance this. But for a lot of people, they get some technology thing and they never even think then to invite a real person into their house. You can have a great time as a family doing this. I got to go over to the Murray's house. What was it, Saturday? It was so fun. Man, there is something that is so great about having friends over to your house. Eating food, having a great time. There could be some technology things that really add to that. Having people over to watch a game or, you know, having a video game party is way better than just sitting there and going through the channels by yourself all day. Cheerfully share. People are more important. Use what you have to share with other people. Here's some ideas on how to do that. All right. There. Use everything that you have to make people feel welcome. And work as a team in your house to make your house really inviting. This would be a really fun family talk to have. What can we do that would make people want, like the neighborhood kids want to come over here and hang out? Is your house the place that the people in the neighborhood know is open to hanging out at? Are you cheerfully sharing what you have? Is that your reputation in your neighborhood? It totally could be. I know for some of you it totally is that way. Everyone in the neighborhood knows that your house is the fun house. That'd be great. This is something that I'm really thankful that my parents did. They were both gifted in generosity. But one of the things that they did, we happened to have two fridges, and they stocked one of them with pop. We also had an entire cabinet filled with junk food. So I never had a problem getting a ride home from high school, ever. Because it was like you could come in and eat whatever you wanted. So they totally funded that. We had a pool table. My parents let us go wild in that house. It was great. Many times, my friends would end up coming to my house. And I'm really thankful that my parents did that. They took it to a crazy level. We had, for a little while in high school, we had a room that didn't have any furniture in it, and it had a pretty high ceiling. And we played a game called butt ball in that room. High school guys, it's taking like a 4-inch playground ball and throwing it against the wall as hard as we could, and then at each other also. It is a violent game. Imagine like juniors and seniors in high school running around aggressively in your house. How does that make you feel? My parents totally did that. They were downstairs watching TV. I went down there to ask them a question, and I swear to you people, you could see the ceiling move, and the light fixtures were like going like this. I was like, you guys are totally cool parents to let us do this to the house. You might not be willing to take it that far, but are you willing to cheerfully share everything that you have, the nicest stuff that you have? This will cost you money. This will cost you effort. But if people are more important than having a house like that, it makes a lot of sense. and oh my gosh, is this ever fun? People are more important. Use everything that you have to cheerfully share with them, because everything's going to burn. Okay, a couple other suggestions. This is a concern. This is a few concerns that I have working with junior high students. If you give your kids unrestricted access to the internet, you are doing them a big disservice. I am not a fan of, especially boys, but girls too, having a computer in their room, a TV in their room. These kind of things are not healthy for developing love relationships with other people. Kids get into big trouble with this. Porn is a total epidemic, and it's a total epidemic in our student groups. I'm sure your kid is completely different than every other kid. But it's not healthy to give that level of access. And understand that if they have an iPod, then they have complete access anytime they have Wi-Fi anywhere. There's software that you can install that's reporting software. The one that I personally use is called X3 Watch. It's great. I've got it on my phone and my laptop. If I ever get into anything that's questionable, my best friends are emailed about it. It's great. It doesn't block anything. It just records what I do, and that's really helpful for me. This is, you know, it used to be to get into porn, someone would have to take a big risk to steal it or to find it somewhere and then show their friends. And nowadays, to get into porn, you have to click on the wrong thing once. This is a way that you can really help your kids, is by monitoring what they do. Giving total unrest, especially to like younger middle school kids, if you're giving them total unrestricted access to text messaging, that is not a good idea. It's really easy for people to send uncool messages or pictures and things like that. You do not have to be an expert on information technology, but it would help if you would understand some of what's out there to be able to protect your kids. Pray that kids get caught. Kids, if you're getting into trouble, pray that you will get caught early on. The consequences of going down this road, whether it's of porn or other dangerous stuff on the internet, are extreme. And it would be so much better for you to get caught or to come clean early. For you personally, if you're having a problem in this area, come clean about it right away. This can seriously stop your ability to love other people. In extreme cases, people lose their families because of their habits in this area. The consequences are so much less if you come clean on your own than if you get busted. I think having unrestricted internet access is stupid for any man, unless you're not a sinner. And mine, I guess, isn't restricted, but it's reported on. And that's a real help to me. It really lessens the kind of temptation that I go through. Yeah, and come clean with problems that you have. Pray that God would put a friend in your life that you can be fully honest with. Someone of your same gender would be ideal. All right. So, main point, people are more important. Everything around us is going to burn. They're temporary. But the people, the relationships that you have with God and other people are going to last. Emphasize with yourself and with your kids that people are more important. this was a mantra around our house. My mom would say this constantly, be like, I know. But it's true.